Welcome to the Deep Dive. We always try to bring you the most fascinating research. And today, well, we're going underground.
Ooh.
Yeah, today's topic is soil seed banks.
Really cool.
We're going to be diving deep into a research paper from 2021. Yeah. It has a pretty serious title, Buffering Effects of Soil Seed Banks on Plant Community Composition in Response to Land Use and Climate.
That is a mouthful.
It is. It's from the journal Global Ecology and Biogeography.
Oh, interesting.
And this paper is packed with info about how seed banks can actually help ecosystems adapt to change.
Yeah, it's a really important topic, especially now with all the environmental changes happening.
Right. It is a hot topic.
The researchers in this paper looked at a massive amount of data over 2,796 plots across Europe.
2,796 plots across Europe.
2,796 plots. That is dedication.
Yeah.
To understand how seed banks sort of act as a safety net for plant life.
Exactly.
But before we get into the nitty-gritty, can we just take a step back for a second?
And just like define what soil seed banks actually are. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, a couple acorns here and there, are
we? Oh, not at all. Mm. Think of it as this massive reservoir of dormant seeds hidden under the ground.
Okay.
It's like a living library of potential plant life, just waiting for the right conditions to sprout and grow.
That's an awesome way to put it. A living library.
And it's not just a small handful of seeds either. Some seed banks can hold thousands of seeds per square meter.
Thousands per square meter.
Yeah. Incredible, right?
That's wild. But okay, so they're all underground.
Right.
Why should we care about them up here?
Well, because they're crucial for biodiversity and ecosystem resilience.
Okay.
They're like the backup system for plant communities.
Yeah.
So let's say a fire sweeps through a forest or a field is abandoned. The seed bank is there ready to help that ecosystem bounce back.
Right.
They're also vital for adaptation as climates change. Seed banks offer this source of genetic diversity that can help ecosystems adjust to the new conditions.
So it's like they're holding the blueprints for future forests and meadows and prairies.
Yeah, exactly like a blueprint.
Pretty cool. Now, how do these researchers study something that's as widespread as seed banks across a whole continent?
Well, this research was really unique. They actually used Europe's natural temperature gradient. It's warmer in the south and cooler in the north.
Right.
And this let them study the effects of warming just by comparing the seed banks along that gradient.
Okay.
It's called a space for time approach.
Interesting.
They also looked at different land cover types,
mm-hmm.
which gave them some insights into the effects of land use change, like land abandonment, which is happening a lot in Europe.
So they're basically using geography as a time machine.
Yeah, kind of.
To try to see how climate and land use will affect seed banks in the future.
Exactly.
That's pretty ingenious. Yeah. What did they find? What was like the most significant finding?
One of the biggest findings was that seed banks actually hold a lot more plant species than what we see growing above ground.
Oh, wow.
It's like there's this whole hidden world of plant diversity just below our feet.
Hidden diversity.
Yeah. And this is especially true in forests.
Forests, I always feel so mysterious.
I know, right?
So what does it mean for a forest to have all these extra species just tucked away in its seed bank?
Well, it all comes back to that buffering effect that's in the paper's title.
Okay.
This hidden diversity helps to lessen the impact of disturbances and environmental change.
Right.
It's like an insurance policy for the ecosystem. Let's say a forest goes through a serious drought. Some trees might die off.
Right.
But the seed bank could contain species that are more drought tolerant, you know, ready to sprout and fill those gaps.
So they're ready to take over.
And this helps to keep the whole forest ecosystem stable and functioning.
That's powerful imagery. It's like the seed bank is protecting the potential for the forest to adapt and thrive even when there are challenges.
Exactly.
But with all the climate change that's happening, I'm kind of guessing that this research also uncovered some concerning trends.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What did they find?
They found that climate change, rising temperatures, and less temperature variation can actually hurt seed bank diversity.
Okay.
As temperatures rise, some seeds just can't germinate as well.
Oh, so they're not viable.
And this leads to a less diverse seed bank overall.
So even the seed bank has its limits?
Yeah, it seems like it.
That is a little bit worrying. What does that mean for ecosystems if their seed banks become less diverse?
Well, it means they're more vulnerable. If there's a big disturbance, they have fewer species to draw from to recover.
Right.
And as the climate keeps changing, ecosystems with these less diverse seed banks might really struggle to adapt.
Like they don't have all the tools they need.
Yeah, it's like having a limited toolbox when you need all sorts of tools to fix a really complex problem.
Right. So a diverse seed bank is like having a fully stocked emergency kit for the ecosystem.
That's a great analogy.
But you mentioned land use earlier. How does that fit into all of this?
Well, the study found that land cover is a big factor in seed bank diversity. They found that open habitats like grasslands have richer seed banks than forests.
Oh, interesting. Why do you think that is?
Probably because grasslands are just more dynamic environments.
Okay.
They face more disturbances like fires and grazing.
Right.
Which actually creates more opportunities for different plants to take root.
Right.
Plus, grasslands are usually more open, so they get more sunlight, which is good for making seeds.
Makes sense.
Forests, on the other hand, have that dense canopy that blocks the sunlight, making it harder for some seeds to survive.
That makes sense. But, you know, here in Europe, we're actually seeing more land turn back into forests because of things like people abandoning farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we might see seed bank diversity actually go down?
That's a real concern.
Mm.
As more land becomes forest, we could see a shift towards these less diverse seed banks.
Okay.
This is where the research really gets interesting because it goes beyond just counting the number of species in a seed bank.
Okay.
They also looked at something called compositional similarity.
Compositional similarity, what is that?
It basically means how closely the species in the seed bank match what's actually growing above ground.
Okay.
And what they found was a really high degree of similarity across all the habitats they studied.
So the seed bank is like a mirror image of the plant life that's there now.
It is, in a way.
Right.
It suggests that seed banks are actually holding on to a memory of past ecosystems.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a forest that used to be a grassland.
Okay.
The study found that even centuries later, the seed bank might still have remnants of those grassland species.
Wow. Centuries.
Yeah, giving us a glimpse into the past and maybe even showing us how we could restore things in the future.
That's like having a time capsule buried right under our feet.
I know, it's pretty amazing.
But it also makes me wonder if those really old seeds could be out of sync with our climate now.
That's a great question and one that we'll definitely explore more deeply in just a bit.
Okay, so stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be right back after a short break.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Right before we went to break, we were talking about how seed banks can be like these time capsules reflecting the plant life of the past.
It's really fascinating, isn't it?
It is. All those stories they could tell.
Yeah.
But we also talk about something that was a bit concerning. You know, could these really old seeds actually be a bad thing for a changing climate?
Yeah.
As climates shift, we might start seeing something called ecological mismatch.
Ecological mismatch.
Yeah, this means seeds that were totally adapted to conditions in the past might not do well in a new climate.
Okay.
Like imagine those grassland species we talked about.
Right.
They're still hanging out in the seed bank of what's now a forest.
Okay.
If the climate becomes less suitable for grasslands, those seeds might sprout, but they'll have a really tough time surviving.
It's like they're showing up at a party dressed for the wrong theme.
Yeah, exactly like that.
But all jokes aside, this mismatch raises some pretty serious questions about the future of seed banks and how well they can help ecosystems stay strong and resilient. What does this mean for conservation efforts? Does this research give us any ideas about what we can do?
Absolutely. Understanding how seed banks work is super important for good conservation. For example, knowing what species are in the seed bank and what they need to sprout can really help guide restoration projects.
Okay.
Like, let's say we're trying to restore a damaged grassland.
Mm.
We can use what we know about the seed bank to help those grassland species still in there to germinate and grow.
It's like we have a recipe book for restoring ecosystems.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
But instead of ingredients, we're using seeds and the right environmental conditions.
Precisely.
But if climate change can mess up this balance, are there any other conservation strategies we could use?
There's a technique called seed bank translocation.
Seed bank translocation.
Yeah, it involves moving seeds from one place to another.
Oh, okay.
We could use this to introduce species that might be better adapted to future climates.
Right.
Or to boost the diversity of a seed bank that's struggling.
It's like a seed sharing network for ecosystems.
Yeah.
That sounds really promising, but I'm also wondering about the risks. Could introducing seeds from somewhere else accidentally mess up the ecosystem that's already there?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. Seed bank translocation has to be done really carefully. We need to make sure we're not introducing invasive species or disrupting anything that's already adapted to that environment. It's not something to be taken lightly,
Right.
But definitely something worth exploring further.
It seems like everything we do has to be weighed against the potential consequences. But wouldn't protecting the ecosystems we already have with those diverse seed banks be the most straightforward way to make sure those seeds have a chance to adapt and evolve naturally?
Absolutely. Protecting those intact ecosystems with their diverse seed banks is super important. They act like these natural labs for adaptation,
right,
allowing species to evolve as the environment changes. By keeping those areas safe, we're preserving the ability of so many plant species to evolve.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just about planting trees. It's about protecting whole ecosystems, from the biggest trees down to the tiniest seeds in the soil. It's about protecting that whole web of life that makes each ecosystem unique and strong.
Exactly. And this highlights how important it is to tackle climate change on a global level.
Mm.
The faster we can cut down those greenhouse gases, the slower climate change will happen.
Right.
Giving those seed banks more time to adjust and evolve naturally.
Mm.
It's a problem with many signs, and it needs action both locally and around the world.
We've talked about a lot here, you know, from what seed banks are to how they're important for conservation and the threats they face. But you said earlier that this study was just focused on Europe. What makes you curious about seed banks in other parts of the world?
What's fascinating to me is how seed banks might be different in all sorts of climates and ecosystems. You know, imagine the seed banks of a tropical rainforest or a desert.
Right, totally different.
How do they compare to what we see in those temperate forests and grasslands in Europe? And how are they being affected by the specific challenges of each region? These are all questions for future research.
That's a great point. Each region has its own unique story to tell its own way that life plays out above and below the ground.
Yeah.
It reminds us that there's always more to learn, more hidden just beneath the surface.
And the more we learn about these hidden worlds,
right,
the better we'll be able to protect them.
Right.
This research is a great foundation, but it's really just the start of a much bigger journey.
Speaking of exploration, we've reached the last part of our deep dive. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something that really struck me in this research. The idea of the seed bank as a time capsule, a memory of past ecosystems.
Yeah, it's almost poetic, isn't it?
It is.
Those seeds just lying there in the soil, they hold the legacy of landscapes that maybe don't even exist anymore.
Right.
Whispers of ecosystems from centuries ago.
It really makes you think about the connection between the past, the present, and the future of a place.
It's
like the land itself is holding on to these stories, waiting for the right moment to share them. But it also makes me wonder how far back this memory actually goes. Are we talking decades, centuries, millennia?
That's something scientists are still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, how long seeds can last depends on a lot of things. The type of seed, the soil,
right,
the climate.
Right.
Some seeds can stay viable for a surprisingly long time, centuries, or even millennia if the conditions are right.
Millennia. That's amazing.
I know. It's mind-blowing.
It's like having ancient history buried right there under our feet.
Yeah.
But it also makes me wonder, in a world that's changing so fast, will those ancient seeds still be able to make it? Or will they just be relics of a time that's gone, unable to adapt to this new reality?
That's a really important question and one that needs a lot more research.
Yeah.
It's possible that some seeds won't be suited to future climates.
Right.
And that's where we get that ecological mismatch we were talking about before.
So even though the seeds are there just waiting patiently in the soil, the conditions might not be right for them to grow anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of a sad thought.
It is. It really highlights how complex and fragile these ecosystems are.
Yeah.
But it also shows how important it is to understand not just how diverse seed banks are,
right,
but also their evolutionary history and how they can adapt to change.
It's like having this treasure chest full of ancient artifacts. You need to know how to handle them carefully and understand what they mean.
Exactly.
But even with all the challenges we've talked about, learning about soil, seed banks gives me hope. It's comforting to know that nature has these built-in ways to bounce back and renew itself.
I agree. It's amazing how nature can survive and adapt even when things are tough. And it reminds us how important it is to protect these hidden wonders, both because they're valuable in their own right,
right,
and because they play such a vital role in supporting life on Earth.
Well said. To all our listeners out there, I really encourage you to take a moment and appreciate what's happening right under your feet. Those seed banks are a testament to the power of nature, how resilient it is, and how it can always surprise us. Who knows, maybe the next time you see a patch of bare ground, you'll imagine all those seeds sleeping down below, just waiting for their chance to change that place.
That's a beautiful thought.
And maybe it'll inspire us all to be more mindful of how our actions affect these hidden ecosystems, both above ground and below.
That's what I hope for.
Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to come back up from this deep dive into the world of soil seed banks. We've explored a lot.
We have.
From the basics of seed bank ecology to the big challenges they face in a changing world.
And hopefully we've sparked some curiosity in you about these wonders hidden beneath our feet.
To our listeners, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep appreciating the amazing beauty of the natural world, both what we can see and what's hidden away. Remember, even the smallest seed can change the future. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been uncovering the world of soil seed banks, you know, those time capsules of plant life hidden beneath our feet.
It's pretty incredible to think about how these tiny seeds have the potential to really shape entire ecosystems.
It is. It makes you realize that nature operates on so many different timescales, from the quick growth of a plant to the gradual buildup of seeds in the soil over centuries, even millennia.
Yeah, it's humbling.
It is. These seeds represent so many generations of plants, each adapted to the environment of their time. But we've talked about how fast the world is changing.
Right.
Do you think there's a point where those ancient seeds actually become a problem rather than a benefit? Could they make it harder for an ecosystem to adapt to a new climate?
That's a question a lot of scientists are trying to figure out.
Yeah.
It's possible that some seeds that were perfectly adapted to how things were in the past could make it harder for ecosystems to handle rapid climate change.
Okay.
Like, imagine having a toolbox full of really old tools.
Uh-huh.
They might be beautiful and historically interesting, but they might not be the best tools for the job today.
I see what you mean. So even though a diverse seed bank is usually good, relying too much on the past could limit an ecosystem's ability to adapt to the future.
Exactly. It's all about finding a balance between protecting what's come before and making sure we're ready for what's coming next.
So what can we do to make sure that seed banks can still do their job in a world that's changing so much?
It comes down to taking action to protect what we have. Keeping those ecosystems with their diverse seed banks safe is really important. They act like natural laboratories for evolution, giving plants a chance to adapt to changes over time.
So it's like giving nature the space and time it needs to come up with its own answers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it also means we need to lessen our impact on the environment. The slower climate change happens, the more time ecosystems have to adapt,
right,
and the better the chances those seed banks have of keeping up with the changing world.
So we need to give those seeds a chance to write the next chapter in their ecosystem story.
I like that. And who knows what those chapters might hold? That's what makes nature so amazing. It's full of surprises.
It is. Well, on that note of wonder and possibility, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive into the world of soil seed banks.
Yeah, a fascinating world.
We've covered a lot, from the basics to the challenges they're facing in our changing world.
And we hope we've made you a little more curious about those hidden wonders beneath our feet.
To our listeners, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep appreciating the beauty of the natural world, what we can see and what we can't. Remember, even the tiniest seed has the power to shape the future.
That's a great point. Thanks for joining us.
And until next time, keep digging deeper and exploring the wonders of our planet.